Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, there's some coaching disparities in the league at the moment, and we're here to take you all through them. We'll be talking about Dave Yeager and his future with the Kings, how Brett Brown's career hinges upon the Sixers' playoff success. We'll be chatting about the Draymond Green saga and whether we see him as a max player, the possibility of a Carmelo Anthony retirement, and with Houston seemingly back into the swing of things, do we have another contender for the championship? And we get ready to set our inner child's loose as we chat Pixar movies and another off-topic. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. I almost forgot what was started, the morning or the afternoon.
Why are you wearing pants,
Nick? I'm wearing pants. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. We like to keep it fresh here at JBT. The intro will never be the same. Any two episodes.
It's literally, you wrote it down for yourself when we came up with this awesome template. Kudos to you, though. That's probably your crowning achievement with this podcast.
I am the technical man.
Yeah.
Well, I make the spreadsheets. I don't fill the docs.
No, I do.
But I template the docs.
Exactly. That's what it's about, mate. Nick, it's 29 degrees in Melbourne right now, and you're in tracksuit pants.
I am.
Cool. Is that your random fact for the day?
I slept like this. With me today, we have J-Man Jack Manuel.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, well, mate. What's your random fact?
My random fact is...
Drumroll.
Oh, I do have a drum. I actually said the drum. Okay, yeah. Alright, there's the drum roll.
I have so many times with your own fucking example. I wish I had the technical nous that you did.
My random fact is that, I know it's a bit bland.
Yeah, go.
But I had a few drinks on company money.
Drinksies.
It was good. Yeah. First week of work. They were very profitable.
Should you be like?
I'm not disclosing any information on type of company.
Okay.
It was just like, it was a nice gesture they showed everyone, and then like there was a big gathering of all the young people in the company.
You're young.
All the people that this company had hired in the past 5 years all had a big meetup in Melbourne, and that was all, it was all catered. I mean, they take care of you,
right.
I'm very happy so far. And here's to a long lasting career. Until podcasting takes over everything,
yeah.
And I quit.
Podcasting over everything, JBT over everything.
So, mate, let's chat some b-ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Start here with the Music Manuel scale. As always, it's a scale created by us.
You know, I just realised on the doc, the template, it says official banter time. What makes it official?
It's official. I mean, this is the only banter time that we get. From here, it's super serious.
Okay, cool.
Stop laughing, Jack. It's super serious. We should share, like one of our docs. And just
yeah,
be
let's
like,
do it.
This is what we look at
every time. I'll screenshot it and I'll put it
official
out.
Official banter time.
Yeah, I'll make
it. I had a lot of fun creating this doc. Anyway.
It's wonderful, mate. You've done well.
Anyway, we'll start here with Music Manuel scale. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT-created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. Mate, the Kings.
Yeah.
High flying Kings? Well, not so much recently.
They're flying.
I mean, they're all right.
They're soaring.
They're above 500, I think, still.
Yeah, I think they might have lost it. I can't remember.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
They're doing better than what everyone expected. But Dave Yeager.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
Why? There's speculation out that there is some. There was some heat between the front office and Dave Yeager on the direction and the sort of the title, I guess, that they're giving this season.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously winning a lot.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Young players.
So the Kings front office, first of all, would be foolish to fire Dave Yeager.
Oh, it's got
to
be a fact, Nick.
Hashtag
because,
fact.
Yeah, I mean, with this is the most relevant the Kings have been since I've been.
People are talking about them.
We talk about them.
People
we
in Sacramento are very excited. Kings. Those of them who are not on fire. sorry, that was a bit crude.
Oh yeah, shout out to everyone in California right now. I know it's absolutely horrible out there. For you. And if you're listening,
coming
to this,
from Australia, we know all about bushfires.
Yeah, I actually chatted to my missus about it. So yeah, prayers up to everyone out there. But yeah, the Kings front office would be foolish to fire. It's got to be a fact now, because Dave Yeager has changed their style of basketball this season to suit his new cattle. Like, they're playing a faster brand of basketball.
Second in pace at the moment. They're, 106 possessions.
And
that's
suits
crazy.
Guys like De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein, Buddy Hield.
The fact that he's getting production from players like Willie Cauley-Stein.
And they've increased it.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. It's tremendous what he's doing there. So
the apparent rift, and this was via Yahoo Sports, is the fact that they're not playing enough of guys like Marvin Bagley, and guys like Nemanja Bjelica are getting more minutes and such. But I think in Dave Yeager's defense, you need to have that healthy mix. And I think if the front office are the ones that are annoyed at him, they should look in the mirror, because they're the ones that built this roster with a mismatch of about 45 power forwards and centers. You can't play Marvin Bagley at small forward. Like, Dave Yeager has made your franchise somewhat relevant again. I don't think he's an amazing coach, but he's done some good things there. And whether this leads to his dismissal,
it'll be a tough pill to swallow for him. I mean, considering how well they've been doing. And it's, I mean, you could ask any coach, any organization in the NBA, maybe except for Sam Hinkie and the Sixers, but you do not want to jeopardize, like, nothing can replace a winning mentality in a team. So that's why it's so rare for a team like the Sixers to come out of the rut that they were in and be the fighting force that they were. It takes a long time to turn around a team that are literally breaking records for the amount of games that they're losing, to turn that around and become a very,
relevant
team again. Like, that's a big turnaround. You don't want to instill a losing mentality in a team. Yeah. So if you can get wins under these young guys' belts, whether they're playing 20 minutes or 38 minutes, they're going to be, they're going to be a lot better off if they're winning games.
Yeah, definitely. And Vlade Divac, Kings general manager, came out in regards to this. You take with this as what you will, and we'll hear from Dave Yeager in a sec. But he said, "Dave has our full support and confidence. We continue to work together to develop our young core and compete." Mm. They also don't have their pick this year. So that's going to be either going to Philly, I believe it's the first pick, and if it's outside of the number one, it will go to Boston, I believe.
That's what I mean. You may as well make the most
You've
of the
got
year.
To.
Yeah.
You have to, like, just absolutely gun for wins. Mm. There is no point in tanking, because it's, I mean, it's foolish, like we were talking about.
It's
antithesis
exactly
to what they want to do. And we'll have a quick listen to what Dave Yeager said following, I believe, the game tonight. So we had a few comments.
Are there some philosophical differences, and is that common in the NBA between coaches and front offices?
Oh, I'm not going to get into that stuff.
I'm not going to get into that stuff. And if you watch the video,
they had a look of worry on his face, Nicholas.
I mean, it pauses right at the end, and it's just like his eyes are wide, and he's got like a little quiver on his lip.
The Kings aren't known for keeping coaches very long. They're currently on their fifth coach in 6 years. So we'll leave it at that.
Hashtag bring back Vogel.
Vogel was
that was
Indiana.
Magic. No, and Magic.
And Magic, man. Poor Frank Vogel. He like fell far from grace. He'll probably get back soon.
I mean, coaches, I mean, that's a testament to how much coaches have moved in the league in
general.
Speaking
of coaches, Nick.
Speaking of coaches.
You want to do this? You want me to do this? I did the segue, so I got to do it.
Brett Brown.
Yeah, oh, come on, you salt from it. You
fuck. As per the starters, Brett Brown could be on the hot seat if the Sixers have, if the Sixers don't have playoff success. So,
fact.
What's playoff success?
It has to be better than last season. It has to be 2 rounds or at least 6 or 7 games, because they went out in 5 to Boston last season in the semis. So they have to do better than that. When you get Jimmy Butler, who
tonight, the third round is the final.
Yeah, the first
is the round, Eastern Conference final. Yeah,
I said the semis, the second round.
Yeah, yeah, but the third round. If you're getting better, so you want them to make an Eastern Conference final.
I said 6 games or 7 games.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay.
But they are good enough to make the finals, Nick. Like, you have a core three of Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid. They're already meshing pretty well. We saw it tonight, Charlotte. When you need that ISO bucket play, I'm doing a piece for Becker Basketball Magazine, and I talked about what they're a non-traditional ISO team down the stretch. They like to move the ball when normally you want a guy just to take that last shot. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler is that guy. He proved it against Charlotte. Jimmy G buckets. So yeah, for me, a lot of people, I know you're a big fan of Brett Brown, but there are a lot of people in the NBA landscape, Twitter sphere, who aren't as high on him. And I think he could be under some pressure, though I do believe he has a very good standing within that organization. But as is generally the case, it's always the coach to fall, as what could be happening in Sacramento right now.
I don't know if I'm going to give this a hard fact. I might give this one a Wikipedia fact. Because I don't think... I mean, unless they bomb out in the playoffs, then that's the thing. But if they make second round and it still doesn't go to plan, when you've got the likes of... Just say we see this version of the Raptors. We see this version of...
Boston.
Boston aren't exactly too flash hot at the moment. They lost today to the Jazz.
Yeah.
Scored 86. Like, come on.
They're having their struggles, but...
Yeah, they are having this. I mean, seems like sophomore blues for a lot of these sophomores. Jason Tatum's not firing the way he was. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell as well. Ben Simmons has not improved over this.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say.
Like, it might even be fair to say that his jump has somehow gotten worse.
He's a right-hander, Nick.
I don't know what's going on. That's a conversation for another time. Of course. But unless they go out in the first round, if they make second round and face a Milwaukee, for example,
yeah, they're hot.
Can they be... held accountable?
Okay,
can they be held accountable for a loss?
In
six or five or six.
Yeah, context is everything, obviously, Nick. And you take everything with a grain of salt. So, I mean, we're putting this out there because we're a podcast where we need to have clickbaity
sort of thing.
We can't really click on a podcast. Soundbite worthy stuff.
Hot takey stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're about. We are the Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman of NBA podcast.
But it'll definitely be... He'll definitely be on the hot seat following the next season.
It'll be warm. Someone would have sat in it before for him.
Those seat warmers are on.
Yeah, they have seat warmers in Milwaukee on the courtside seats.
Oh, all courtside seats.
It gets cold.
I mean, it does. Yeah.
But Nick, we'll stay with the Sixers. Moving to a new franchise is the best move for Fultz individually and as well for the franchise as a whole. What do you think? I feel pretty bad for the kid right now, this will probably be our most in-depth discussion about any of the topics today, because Draymond's been done to death. But what are your thoughts on Fultz? Should he stay in Philadelphia? Should Philadelphia want to move him? What's the go for you, mate?
It really just depends on where his headspace is at the moment. He's not working out with Drew Hanlon anymore. And I don't believe he fired him.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing.
I have about, like, 8 links here under this topic, and all of them are extremely relevant. So, B-Ball Index tweeted out earlier in the week, Markelle Fultz was apparently forced into working with Drew Hanlon. Drew Hanlon also worked out with Joel Embiid in the offseason and has a great relationship with him. We've seen great strides made by Joel this season. He's in the MVP conversation. Liberty Ball has tweeted out, SB Nation's Philadelphia site, that the relationship between Fultz and Hanlon deteriorated when someone from Fultz's camp confronted Hanlon in person about a lack of expected results. So very impatient on Fultz's behalf. Maybe not Fultz individually, but the people around him. There's even more. Drew Hanlon tweeted out himself, a subtweet. We love the subtweets.
The subtweet.
We love the retweet with the comment. So Luke Cooper, Coopsies, tweeted out, when people who have no idea what's actually going on can make crazy assumptions, caps lock, lol. And Drew Hanlon comes out with a man with four ends, Nicholas.
Four ends. That is three more. That is surplus to requirements right there.
And three periods.
Ooh.
And I think the number one thing from Alex Kennedy himself of Hoops Hype, Markelle Fultz and Drew Hanlon are no longer working together or on speaking terms. There was a falling out of some sort, obviously. Who do you buy into? Do you buy into Drew's camp? Do you buy into Markelle's camp? Now, when that Players Tribune video came out and it was showing Markelle Fultz's tinkered form, looked pretty good. Don't know what happened there. But I like your theory you gave to me when we were chatting about this early in the week about how all these coaches are getting in his head. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
I don't know how. Like, it's more of a... It would be crazy if this was... my Facebook's going off again. It would be crazy if this was actually legitimate. Because you would hate to think that this is happening to a young player in the league. Markelle Fultz seems to be the victim of experimentation from these shooting coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think that, you know, it seems like these crazy shooting forms that you're seeing, these hitches in his free throws. Yeah, like it's all these weird sort of stuff have been coached into him to try and work out some other kink. This is my theory. So it's like when you like you're trying to remove a cramp, so you overstretch, so you overdo it, so that when you go back to normal, it's a bit looser. So these shooting forms are there to sort of quickly get rid of something in his normal shooting action, so that when he goes back to a normal shooting action, that whatever kink it was, that kink is gone.
Yeah.
And so I think all of these really weird left field experimentation type
theories, whatever,
are just being handed straight to him. And he's like, he's a guinea pig at the moment. It's like he's getting injected with like a billion different shooting actions.
Yeah, and funnily enough, there was a really good tweet out from a physical therapist, Dr. Rajpal Brab, was saying that what Markel's doing in the free throw shooting action is
the little hot potato one. Yeah, okay.
He's circumventing the condition hitch response when dealing with chronic pain and neurocognitive pain loops. A common and effective technique is to add a novel stimulus like this. Nick. Do you know what that means?
This is a common... Well, I mean, this is classic doctor. You can't understand their handwriting. You can't understand their tweets. Essentially, how I'm interpreting this is that it takes your mind off the free throw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a common thing. I've been told by you, because of my I've struggled from the free throw line myself. But I just sort of kept practicing, and I don't do that anymore. Okay. Like I don't do it. I just shoot.
Yep.
So I've got my little action and I shoot. But if you're thinking about your free throws too much, the chances are you're going to miss them. So you wiggle your toes, you do your hot potato, and it takes your mind off the free throw. You're concentrating on that mundane task of wiggling your toes or whatever, and your free throw is just natural. It's just an action.
I remember probably might have been the last time, if not like the second last time, when we were, you know, shooting around and just like warming up, and I was shooting free throws. I made like 6 in a row because I was talking to you, and I realized that having that taken away from me, having my focus taken away from the mechanics and getting in my head, because that's the number one thing when it comes to all this with Markel. He's in his head when it comes to perimeter shots, when it comes to free throw shots, because he has to think. You have time to think before you take those shots. So I think he could look no further than DeAndre Jordan. I sent you a clip, and this is via Maggis. He sent me a clip of what DeAndre has done this season to turn him into, literally, he's like 80% plus from the free throw line. A guy who's like subpar 50%. He's been trash. I've always liked his form as well, but the video details, and this is on YouTube, I'm sorry that I can't remember the user, but he was saying he has this routine now where the foul is called, he touches the basketball immediately after so he can get a feel for it. Then he goes to the free throw line, he talks to his teammates, he goes, who you got on defense? Who you got on defense? Shoots one, makes it. Then he goes to them again, who you got on defense? Who you got on defense? Shoots it again. He did it today, and they were talking about it in the broadcast against the Warriors, and I noticed it, and I'm really grateful that I watched this video, and it has worked wonders. I think Markel could look no further than that. Maybe shoot a text DeAndre's way, because that could certainly help him.
Look at Andre Drummond last season, improved his free throw performance amazingly. Through 10 seasons at the Clippers, he shot 45% from the free throw line.
Not great.
He's at 80% so far this season.
Pretty good.
On three, it's not, he's taking a couple. Four, yeah, four makes a game.
It's a couple.
Oh, sorry, not four makes, four attempts a game.
It's pretty good.
That is, that's not like he's taking two shots a game, like he's only drawing one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
To see someone who is 32... How old is it?
He's early 30.
Yeah, yeah. Should say on Basketball Reference.
It should. That's the one thing that they don't have.
30. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
30 years and 120 days.
There we go.
Basketball Reference comes through. Yeah, to see someone this late in their career make heavy strides in an aspect in their game that was struggling. So it's good.
Staying with Markel Nicholas, Stephen A. Smith put this out there, and I think a lot of other people probably think this as well. If Fultz doesn't get a shot, he'll go down as one of the biggest busts in NBA history. What do you think about that? Thoughts? Is he?
Anthony Bennett is
the one that, for me, that comes to mind immediately. Like he's
That's true.
Pretty bad.
I guess
Met you to form for a little bit.
Like, I don't know why this comes to mind. It shouldn't when it comes to busts, because it was Odin? Through injury. Yeah, Lamar Odom.
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Sorry. Lamar Odom. Simply because of injury. And, like, that's through no fault of his own.
That's
so, like,
why
I feel bad.
More than Odom.
Well, exactly. Like, yeah. This is going to be, he simply just cannot play the game of basketball.
Can't execute at the highest level,
yeah. Which is crazy. Considering how hyped he was at college. I mean, you see some of his
awesome
college clips. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's a flush shooter. He's so nice. He's nice off the dribble. Like,
nice size.
Exactly. He's,
yep.
I mean, there was a reason he was taken number one overall. There's a reason that Philly traded up for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that Jason Tatum could go down in history. But, Nick,
it's a big what if. Massive what if.
I agree with it somewhat, but I think we need to give it time. I think...
It's his second year. His first year, really.
I said this to Chaz, I think, when we were watching The Jump. Obviously, Forbes came up as a topic of discussion. I think all parties involved would benefit from just a pure, unadulterated honesty. Coming out and saying, look, I'm up in my head. I'm like really anxious when I have the ball in my hands. I think admitting fault and weakness in today's league is no fault. It won't come off as a weakness. We've seen, in terms of mental health, like guys like DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love, Kelly Oubre, your boy, have come forth and said, like, they're dealing with shit. Mm. And while this is on court, I think a lot of it is due to possible, whether it's confidence, whether it's self-esteem, whether it's just a general, like, free-floating anxiety. I'm not sure what it is, but I think he would benefit from that because I think it would be a release of tension for him and possibly for the organization themselves. Because there was a real tension between Brian Colangelo and Fultz's team. So I think it's just, like, honesty generally is the best play when it comes to relationships. That's how we've somehow maintained relationships with our lovely girlfriends for so long. But I think it would benefit Markel greatly to do so. Do you think I'm off base here? Or
No. Transparency is key in most things that you do. Like, especially in a professional sense, if you want to improve and whatnot, you need to accept... like you said, you need to accept faults. You need to, accept faults.
Write it down. Write it down.
Oh, God. Yeah, you need to accept some level of responsibility and then be grown up enough to ask for help.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that. You see it in any professional sense.
Yep.
Client and clientee... relationships.
I
am new to the business world. It's a long road ahead. Transparency is key. If you screw up on a deliverable, you tell them what's happened.
We're this a business is how we, podcast. What's
like,
going on right
like
now?
How you work through it. Because what's happened has happened. How do we move forward? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And we'll leave the final thoughts with Fultz on that shooting action, which was obviously making the rounds. This is by Ian Begley on Twitter. It's something I added right now. Just trial and error. It's been working nice to me, so I'm going to stick with it for now. He went 2-4 from the line versus Utah and then rebounded his own miss and found Butler for a three-point play. So whether he sticks with this going forward...
I mean, I don't mind the rationale behind it. The whole, like, take your mind off the free throw.
I want, like you, the transparency completely about what's been happening so far. But we shall move on. All powers up to Markelle Fultz. Hopefully he can get his game going. But Nicholas, the other news of the week is Draymond and KD. We got to a bit late because we do a podcast on a freaking Sunday.
I know. I mean, we got the Jimmy Butler news.
Yeah, we got that. We got to
come as they come as they go.
Draymond and KD could have had their... a bit earlier, but Draymond Green isn't a max player, Nicholas. This has been making the rounds, they trade him, blah, blah, blah. Is he a max player? Give me on the Scalskis.
You love Draymond, Wiki. Bro. I do. I admire what he brings to a team, so I'm going Wikipedia. I think
he isn't a max player. That's the thing. Draymond Green isn't a max player, so...
Twitter.
Okay, go down one more.
Twitter fact. I think he is the max player to a specific... team. Whether that team has cap room and all of that stuff is very obviously relevant. Teams will be reluctant to give him the max, given everything that's here, given his attitude, I guess, like his rowdiness.
Yeah.
But also, he is not the same player he was 3 years ago.
He has been slowly, definitely.
He has been slowly declining, which is really hurting my Draymond Green is a better
standism.
For this whole debate that we've been going on because he has been declining,
not rapidly,
but it's been slow-pedly. Evident. It has been evident. Whereas Clay doesn't seem to have lost a beat. Obviously, I think it's a little bit easier to be it, I mean, people develop into shooters. Like Ray Allen developed into one of the greatest
Jason
shooters later.
Exactly,
later in their career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was almost inevitable. But the impact that Draymond has on a team defensive end is the highest on the Warriors.
I think it's the highest maybe ever.
I mean, yeah. Zach Lowe made that exact thing. I think he mentioned that he had not seen a better defensively minded player, like how smart he is capable defensively since Kevin Garnett?
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would say him.
Quite a compliment.
Kawhi would be in that conversation.
Like, yeah, well, when he said that, my instincts went straight to Kawhi. His defensive instincts are amazing.
I think
Kawhi
has athleticism that makes up for it in terms of, like, Draymond is probably the smartest defensive player maybe we've ever seen. I wouldn't, you know, hesitate.
He's just
got
a great basketball mind himself.
But what you're saying in terms of losing that step, that means that...
I mean, he's not going to produce for you offensively.
No. I mean, but he's a wonderful passer, and he can run the floor well.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is.
But at times he can have
those
brain fades where he should pass the ball.
He's not going to get your points.
No, and like that 3-point shot
has gone.
Gone, yeah.
It's not existent anymore.
Gone, mate. He's left the backpack at home, and he's just like throwing it on the ground. He's just jumping.
That backpack's getting a little bit too heavy for him. He can create in other ways.
Yeah, he definitely can. He makes up for.
He's got intense, and that's where the crux of my argument comes in. He's got tremendous leadership. He does. He does. Kevin Durant is not a team player.
Are you team Draymond?
Of course I am.
Of course you are.
Kevin Durant.
He's passing the freaking ball, bro.
Yes, he made a mistake. That is undeniably true.
That's
that last play was very bad.
Yeah.
And yes, you give Kevin Durant the ball.
Yeah.
Of course you do. He's a superstar.
Steve Kerr should call the timeout as well.
I mean, a lot of things in hindsight could have been done, Jack.
Yes.
But Draymond Green calling out Kevin Durant is not a bad thing. This is how Draymond Green plays.
But
he commands a shitload of respect in that.
But you go, okay, you are a B word, and get out. We won here before you. He's also the guy that called him up after they lost to LeBron James in Game 7 and go, bro, we need you. So, hypocrisy, you know, pot kettle.
He's a very feelsy dude. I am 100% sure he regrets everything that he said in that instance.
He doesn't. Though.
But I would believe that he does.
Does not.
There are better ways to go around conveying that message. Because he would have been hot and heavy that he screwed up that final possession.
Yeah.
He would have been, insecure, I guess.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant is like, why didn't you pass me the ball?
Yeah.
And then that's when he goes on the defensive. As defensive as Draymond Green is.
Hey!
He goes in and swats that insult away.
Hey!
And just goes at him.
Yeah, I think you make fair calls, and I agree with what you're saying. The reason I had this topic in there is that Hoops Hype had a poll on this exact topic, and 78% of nearly 6,000 votes said that he is not a max player.
I believe that is extreme recency bias.
It certainly is. And like a lot of polls generally do reflect that, especially on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to pay him a max contract. If this was 2 years ago, then yeah, I'm giving him a max. But I don't think he is right now. I think he is...
Well, yeah, that's why... Like, I think that losing that step, not every team will look at Draymond and be like, we need him on our team.
Yeah. Yeah. But Nicholas...
Yeah.
Another guy who's had his struggles coming back. Gordon Hayward's openness to coming off the bench indicates he's a listener of JBT and a subscriber on iTunes. This is from Season 2, Episode 40. Clearly, he has this saved. It's favorited in his phone, on Pocket Cast, on Android.
Yeah, that's it.
But this is early in the week where the Celtics were having their struggles. Hayward's had his up and downs, but he's still struggling to finish through contact. He's lost that burst, as you'd expect. You know, he's coming back from one of the most freakish injuries we've maybe ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's obviously a fact that he is a listener to JBT, subscriber to iTunes.
I mean, that's a fact.
But do you
who wouldn't be?
I remember you were strongly against it. Has your tact changed early in the season about Gordon Hayward taking a lesser role? Jaylen Brown has really suffered through this for me as well.
I have never been a huge...
You're not a Gordy fan.
I've never been a huge Gordon Hayward is a perennial All-Star fan.
Okay.
I don't think he is. Okay. Like, he at the when he was at the Jazz, he was obviously the number one...
Jazz hands?
He was... Yes, yes.
You always...
Jazz hands!
I told you to delete it, and we actually use it. Wow.
Yeah, I'm never getting that one. I'm a big Archer fan, so that, anyway. When he was at the... Yeah, when he was at the Jazz, he was a number one offensive offensive threat on a heavily defensive team.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, because his usage rate would have been through the roof when he was at the Jazz, and I think that pads a little bit of his stats.
I think that...
I don't think he's as impactful as people reckon he is.
I think that he has a very well-rounded skill set, and he's maybe a step below a Paul George. Maybe a better facilitator, but you know, Paul George obviously better defender as well.
Yeah,
both good shooters. Obviously, you can argue this is both players at their best.
Like, it's the whole thing with Jimmy Butler. Is Jimmy Butler a number one guy on a playoff team?
Yeah.
Is Gordon Hayward a number one guy?
No,
hell no.
Jimmy Butler's more of a number one.
Yes, of course, of course. But people were touting, like, when they landed Gordon Hayward at the Celtics, when Gordon Hayward was at the Jazz.
Yeah,
this guy is an all star. He's like a he's a super like.
At his best. He's 1-8, like next to Kyrie. I think he would actually right now almost be perfect in Utah next to Donovan Mitchell.
He should be a 2. He should be a 2. Like, he would be good in a Clay Warriors.
Like, Clay's like 3 now.
2 to me. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But, 4. I'd put him below Draymond, but that's me.
Of course you would.
That's me.
but Nick, in terms of... I'm not sure how much Boston Celtics games you've watched so far... But Jaylen Brown has suffered a lot due to Gordon Hayward's presence, and he's been relegated to the bench in crunch time. Marcus Morris is seeing time over him. Do you think that, you know, Jaylen Brown, I'm throwing this at you out of the blue. This ain't on your wonderful doc, but could he get traded? Could a team, you know, could he, you know, get disgruntled and, you know, be on his way out?
You don't trade Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
You don't trade...
Young wing?
Well, not only that, but he has the potential to be, like... a generational talent.
But I don't think... I think he has that... I don't think he's going to be a one guy. I don't think he's... I think he's...
You don't think Jason Tatum could be a one guy?
No, I meant... did I say Tatum? I meant Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah. You trade Jaylen Brown.
Oh, right.
Okay. I think I was... you may have said Jaylen Brown. We'll have to listen back. You may have said Jaylen Brown. Maybe I heard Jason Tatum. Yeah. You trade Jaylen Brown.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. Sorry. My mistake. But this was always going to happen. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum... Because Jason Tatum's had his struggles as well. Yeah, I mean, Kobe. I mean, that's another, like...
Segway.
What was it? Kobe Gate.
Yeah.
Kobe Gate. That's a nice little conspiracy theory there. This was always going to happen when Hayward came back. When Kyrie came back, Terry Rozier wasn't going to see the minutes that he was going to see.
Yeah.
These players coming back from injury, they're the Celtics.
Yeah.
Tatum and more to a more extent, Brown, because Tatum's... a year younger, 2 years younger, going to suffer. Their minutes are going to go down. Their usage is going to go a lot down. And they're not going to have nearly the production that they can. I think Jaylen Brown's had his chance. Didn't set the world on fire. Like, we've had him maybe two seasons in a row, or maybe it was just last season, as most improved player.
Yeah.
Same with Brandon Ingram. I'm like, my hopes for Brandon Ingram are slowly diminishing.
It's okay, but yeah, I agree.
It's sort of a similar boat, though, but you get as much as you can for Jaylen Brown now, because I don't think you're going to get much more trade assets than what you can right now.
Interesting.
Like, his height was end of last season.
Yeah, Davis is obviously going to be on the market, possibly, so Brown, I think it makes complete
And people
sense.
Will take a flyer on Brown. Brown, like...
Oh, yeah. I'd love him on the like, Nets. Brown we technically is, should have him.
Brown is more of a max player than maybe Draymond at the moment, because of, like, how young he is and how much potential there is there.
Agreed. But Nicholas, a team that is reestablishing themselves, the Houston Rockets have reestablished themselves as a championship contender following their recent form, including that very, very nice Golden State win. And Chris Bang. Paul was all smiles. Nothing but smiles. So what do you think about Houston? Houston, do they have a problem?
They have certainly... bettered themselves over the last... from going 1-5 in October, they've gone 6-2.
Ooh. Nice numbers.
Nice bit of stats there. I like having the B-ball reference. It's like I chop between NBA stats and B-ball reference. They've both got their...
They're both amazing.
Yeah, they're both good. What is really killing them right now is a 2-4, and I believe most of that would have been in October. 2-4 start at home.
Yeah.
Solidify that home court, turn that home court into a fortress,
yeah,
and then your like playoff standings become more important, whether you can retain home court advantage.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual...
Championship contender.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of... I'm segueing a bit.
Yeah.
I'm waffling. In terms of actually being a championship contender... Twitter.
Okay, I'll go...
Twitter. Because they've gotten better.
Yeah.
But the Warriors are the Warriors. They've gotten better.
But that's the thing. Like, it depends on how you construe and interpret championship contender. I'll go Twitter as well.
Well, they're not even making it past the West. Like, you can't...
Of course.
Yeah. So, but, not a championship contender.
But, if they make the finals, you give them a chance. Do you...
Yeah, okay.
Who has the best chance right now for you to make the Western Conference Finals? Outside of Golden State. You know, you got Utah, you got
Denver. You can put Utah out.
You've got OKC.
Yeah.
You've got Houston.
Again, OKC were one that struggled, and
they've been very good lately.
I think they're 7-0 at home.
They've done
maybe
really well. Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway, they started with that that road stretch and just got demolished.
Portland
are doing good things now. Regular season team though, they're not getting far.
You love New Orleans.
It's going to be a tight race between the Nuggets have impressed me.
Okay, cool.
Of course they have. Pelicans need to get a few more wins under their belt if they want to...
Eighth right now.
They need to get into that top four at least.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Lakers?
Not Lakers.
You've got to give the Pelicans some love on this podcast.
It'll be the Nuggets and maybe the Pelicans if they can turn their second half of the season around... And just get some more wins on the board.
I am not...
Hot take. Hold on.
Yeah.
If Pelicans finish fourth...
They go to the finals? Western Conference Finals.
Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's what I meant, conference one. Interesting. Okay.
No one's getting past the Warriors. So
write the timing on this one, because if that happens, Nicholas, then... I said I would eat...
37 minutes.
I said I would eat your head on plenty of other podcasts.
Eat my face.
Your face.
Face off.
We'll bring some face off back. But, Nick, we've got a couple more at this one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be quick with it. Carmelo Anthony, should he retire? I'm going strong wiki.
I'm going fact.
Okay.
Straight up fact. Stop tarnishing your career, Melo.
Yeah.
You were much loved in at the Knicks and obviously in Denver as well. You are ruining yourself right now.
That's my... my take is go back to New York, help them tank to get Zion, become beloved again, and then all is well in Carmelo Anthony land. He gets to, you know, reunite in New York as well. He's just... I remember when we went to... We've probably mentioned this story on the podcast before, but when we went to the Knicks game and when Carmelo Anthony was out, I know we were all upset. Back then he was, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, I think now. Still a bona fide all-star, so he certainly dropped off since then, but yeah, I think... Maybe time to hang up the old Air Jordan.
Even in his second, his last season at New York, he was still 22 points a game scorer.
Yeah,
like his percentages have never been, you know, good.
Of course they're not.
But being the vote, and that's why I'm not a huge Carmelo fan, because it's the same similar thing with Kobe. I mean, you'll get good points, but crappy production.
Yeah.
But it's gone from 16 at 16 a game at OKC, 13 a game at Houston.
Yeah,
he's getting forgotten, and offensive displays like the one a week ago is not going to help him.
Yeah, Nicholas, MVP. The MVP race is as wide open as it has ever been. I'm going fact because, you know, other than Stephen Curry, who was really really hot early, Giannis, who was really really hot early. I think it's certainly really wide open, and I put, when I was running the OTG account early in the week, put out a poll, 20% people of the voted for LeBron James, 40% voted for Giannis, 28% voted for Steph, while 12% voted for other.
How much of that 12% was Anthony Davis?
Probably all.
I'd be willing to
maybe
say
Kawhi.
All of it.
I think Kawhi's probably in that.
Oh, position. Yeah, okay.
Kyrie's probably, I think, put his name out there a little bit as well.
Only recently. This has only been recently.
The struggles
he had early.
Yeah. But, like, that's what... Like, LeBron almost won the MVP after taking a month off in January last season. So, for me, I had Giannis preseason. I've got to stick with my take. You've apparently like 180'd and you're jumping on the Davis bandwagon.
I definitely have changed. Not so much. I still want Giannis. Like I would still like Giannis to win. For my pick to be right.
Validation.
But I think right now Davis is just. You know, you're a superstar talent. I made this thing to you.
Yeah.
When your bad games are 20 to 25 points,
10, like double.
And yeah, 10.
Yeah.
Like he had a game against the Wolves, where he put up I think 22 and 8.
Yeah.
And that's a poor game. That is amazing.
Yeah, by everyone else.
Mason Plumlee would kill for that game. You know, like, and then you've got Steph, who I 29. He's 29 points
does
a game right now.
His
like
absence validate his MVP claims more, Nicholas. With what Golden State are going through, off court, on court, they lost to Dallas today. Does that validate his case further? What do you think? It shows how important he is,
but
I remember
not
you
playing.
That Draymond was freaking more
but
important.
Yeah, but not playing. Not than Steph.
Okay.
Not than Steph.
Maybe it was someone else. I was saying.
Steph is the most important player on this team.
Yeah.
100%, which is the most valuable. You know, MIP, most important player.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Not most improved. His effective field goal percentage right now is 65%.
Yeah, I remember us referencing that, and it still astounds me that a guy that's like 6'3" can have that. That's like Rudy Gobert, Dwight Howard numbers.
It is nuts through 12 games at the moment, which is like he sat a bit.
His groin injury,
yeah, the yeah,
is lingering, and I think that that's having a real effect on Golden State right now.
And that's going to hurt his MVP case.
It probably can.
Okay, Giannis playing 82, a Davis playing 81, I think
or 80-ish,
or a Steph playing 72, yeah. 70, like it's.
It'll be tough, man. That's why I think this one's going to go down to the wire.
Yeah.
But, Nicholas, there was a really enlightening piece on Kobe Bryant's by the Washington Post earlier in the week. And I thought I needed to bring light to it just because of all the recent happenings in the NBA and outside the NBA. Kobe Bryant's attempt to shun the sexual assault case from his narrative is sickening and manipulative, to say the least.
All right, mate. Context.
Yes.
You need to give it, because I only read the part about the sexual harassment.
Yeah.
This is a... I'm not a reader. That is not anything that's new. He sends me this article, and I swear it's like 4,000 words.
I've written a couple. Why don't you read my articles?
It is very long. I read the first couple of paragraphs, and it was intriguing. It was
the mentality,
but
of
then
Kobe.
Skipped straight to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But for those of you who are very ingrained and like want a good read, this is a very good one. Washington Post,
yep.
Obviously, expect nothing less. But Jack, some context, please.
So he essentially has said in this article that he came up with the Mamba persona watching Kill Bill. And sort of was just like, okay, this can help me to overcome what I'm going through right now. I'm not the good boy anymore. I'm not going to get my sponsors anymore. I need to embrace this hate and direct my narrative elsewhere and become sort of this, like, evil character that, like, has, you know, this evil protagonist in a way that people still are drawn to. For me, that, like, the fact that... And he's just like, that's what I had to do to overcome it. And I'm like, dude... You're not the one that needs to overcome fucking anything, for one. Like, you're not the one that went through any sort of fucking trauma.
Mm.
Like, yes, you had, like, some sponsors leave you. Boo fucking who? You had, like, you know, some issues with your wife. And I feel more for your partner in this and your children. But you put this on yourself. And for you to, like, come up with the reasoning... And, of course, Kobe isn't listening. But, like, I need to say this because it... infuriates me, and any Kobe fans out there at the JMA JBT, I don't give a shit, but it is like sickening to say the least, like I said, that he is trying to direct himself and go, this is what I needed to do for me to get through this really tough time in Colorado, the sexual assault case,
yeah.
So I could become, you know, me again, so I could become like beloved again in this weird way. And I'm like, dude, you're a fucking psychopath, like, and anything you do off the court, I'm not going to pay attention to. And yes, cool, you've won an Academy Award. Well done, mate. John Williams got you that shit. Like, you are not talented in any sort of aspect because of all the shit you've done in what happened in Colorado, I think in like 2004 or something. So, like, I think that in general, those sort of instances and happenstances, we are way too quick to, like, just gloss over as a society, whether it's Kobe Bryant, whether it's, you know, Louis C.K., or whether it's, you know, Harvey Weinstein's, like, probably the only one that has gotten the actual full punishment and, like, public decry that he's like actually deserved. But I'm a bit angry, Nicholas. It infuriates me. So, but
what is more damning is that the deflection he tries to take. I mean,
yeah.
there's one instance in that article that I thought was very profound by the writer. Commenting on how, like, Kobe, in whether it was subliminal or not, knew that snakes shed their skin.
Yeah.
And so, and I was just like, whoa, deep, that's real deep. And so he's able to shed himself of this controversy and be beloved back in the public eye. The torment that this young lady went through post...
During?
During the case, was mind-boggling. It was more than anything, I mean...
We
anything,
can't empathize.
Yeah, exactly. I can imagine anything that Kobe would have gone through. I mean, he's got a lot of PR people that can potentially protect him from negative
point.
Media.
Yep.
She didn't have any sort of filter.
Yep.
So, from her perspective, she gets victimized by this figurehead and then is vilified by
everyone
the public.
Else.
Yeah. And so... There was a lot of times where he was... And obviously the writer was just sort of quoting what Kobe was saying.
Literally just quoting, yeah.
Kobe has no remorse, no empathy for what this other person is going through, which is a lot worse than what he is going through.
Yeah, to say the least.
And that's what annoyed me. It's like, where is your perspective?
Yeah, and I think like Kobe is so egotistical and like wrapped up in his own world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's
what made him such a great player.
And it's mind-boggling, though, for that, like, you know, you can't, like, an empathy, I think, is a strong word, but even to, like, have some remorse or sympathy, but to, like, just literally just shun it from your entire narrative and say, this didn't happen, I'm the Black Mamba. It's just like, he's a dick, bro. And, like, I'm getting angry about it, and let's, like, give some people that deserve some kudos with JB Team of the Week.
Curry, way down to Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! A Brady for the win! Yes! JB Team of the Week.
Yes, this is JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position solely in basketball for the week just gone. So, at the point guard spot, in a tremendous offensive display, albeit in a loss to the Sixers, Kemba Walker stunned audiences with 60-point clinic, shooting 62% from the field. He also netted 6 threes at 43% and hit all 12 of his free throws. A perfect, almost perfect, shooting night.
High-scoring night of the season, I believe, and it was predicted by our very own Cameron T, on his article for OTG Basketball, was predicting the next 50-point performance, and Kemba Walker was in there, and he...
Bang. 60 spot points. On the money right there.
Yeah.
He also got 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals doing on the defensive end to cap off a tremendous night for Charlotte, albeit in loss, unfortunately. It was close, though.
Yep.
Jimmy Buck's just too clutch in the
Jimmy
end.
Jimmy G.
Shooting guard. In a much-needed win over the Pacers, James Harden... seemingly back to form, scored a season-high 40 points with 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Those sort of score lines will get you, got him the MVP last year. Small forward, Paul George, accounted for 35%. He went 13 of 22 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, and all 4 free throws hit. He also hit 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block in 29 minutes. That is hyper-efficient. As the Thunder topped the Knicks, point forward. I mean, essentially, he is a point forward.
Hey.
Power forward, LeBron James, was unstoppable in leading the Lakers to their fourth straight win over the Blazers, the firing Blazers. He put up 44 points, passing Wilt Chamberlain on the fifth on all time scoring list. He also got up 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. So good night for LeBron James on both ends of the floor. Congratulations to him. Because I'm sure he's listening. taking the center spot.
LeBron's listening, Kobe's not.
Possibly the most impressive entry to JB Team
he's done it so
that
many times.
I can remember. It's not often that we see three separate entries for a single player into JB Team, but Anthony Davis is just on another level.
Yeah.
He posted 25, 20, and 6 with two blocks. In an upset win over the Raptors to start the week. That started his tremendous... If he doesn't get player of the week, I'll be shitty. He then went and put down 43 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists on 64% shooting against the Knicks, only to finish it up the very next game with 40 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists to snatch the win over the Nuggets.
Heck of a week.
Heck of a week from Anthony Davis, so well done there. So, mate, let's get on to the younger, the green boys.
Just play the music, you idiot.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yeah, so those of you who are new, this is where we award one, two, or three votes.
The green boys.
To Big green, they're new. Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know why green is new, but it is. Like, if you're a greenhorn, you're like a newbie. Anyway, based on their week, screw it.
Can I do it?
You do it.
Just let me do it. One vote. With just 22 minutes of playing time, Knicks rookie Mitchell Robinson had an astounding 9 blocks to go with his 4 points and 4 rebounds.
Bang.
I had to put that in because 9
freaking blocks. 9 blocks?
I know. It's like, there were that many other good performances. He could have easily got 3 votes. But 2 votes had to go to DeAndre Ayton, who posted his 9th double-double of the season with 17 points and 10 rebounds
doing
in
good
the
things.
Suns' win over the Spurs. Mm-hmm. He's been doing well. But the 3 votes has to go to Triple J. J Cube, Jaren Jackson Jr. had a career-high 27 points to go with 6 rebounds, 4 steals, and 2 blocks in a very solid win over the Kings.
Filling out that box score very nicely.
He impacts like the game at so many levels. He's a very, very fun player to watch, and Memphis can do worse than going to him a little bit in the clutch. But it's going to be a fun off-topic, Nicholas.
Let's play that funky music.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? What
the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, this off topic is, I guess,
nostalgic.
Yes, it, of course it is. The new, well, I guess we'll just let the YouTube video tell the story for us.
Of course.
You see the new movie trailer?
For what?
You ain't see it?
See what? What is it, buddy?
Ducky.
What?
They're making another Toy Story movie.
No! I thought those movies were done, dog. They made 3 movies.
They did make 3 movies. This is number 4.
Oh, shoot! Come on! I love the Toy Story, dog.
Toy Story is my jam.
What about Buzz Lightyear's, dog?
I am Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger.
And then Woody's like, you are a toy!
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Woody.
Do the flying thing he does. Do it, do it,
oh,
do it.
To infinity and your mom.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not right.
You sure?
No, that's not right.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
No, let me show you.
To insanity and a blonde. What are you even
that's how it goes.
Saying?
No, that's how it goes.
To immunity and respond.
To indecency
to infrequently.
And...
Hey, guys, you got it all wrong.
It's to infinity and beyond.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard.
You can't go to infinity, dummy. It's impossible.
He up here talking about infinity.
You don't go beyond infinity.
You don't know nothing about science.
You don't know nothing about science, Jack.
Key and Peele, national, international.
All right, so as you can probably guess, this week's off topic is inspired by the new release of Toy Story 4, the new trailer. They're making a new one. Very exciting times.
So excited.
We're talking Pixar movies.
Of course we are.
Yes, we are.
This is like something for Cinema Charlie and Empty Bottle Media.
Is Toy Story your number one?
Yeah. Toy Ooh. Story 1 is my number one.
Talking solely Pixar.
Yes.
Not Disney Pixar.
No.
So none of this Princess
Diary
bullshit.
Okay, but Brave's on there.
Yeah, okay. I guess Brave was on there.
Yeah.
Brave wasn't that good.
I haven't seen Brave.
It's not that.
It's like low in the IMDb ratings. It's that and Cars 2 right at the bottom. But like right up there for me as well is Up, man. Like I could rewatch Up a million times. Doug, might be one of the best movie characters in cinema history, and Russell. Like, Russell
yeah,
just gets
I mean, Up is good, but to me, Toy Story is great. And it's amazing. Like, 1994, I'm pretty sure Forrest Gump came out in 1994. Golden 2 years for Tom Hanks.
Hell yeah.
Like, best of his career. But you've got newer ones.
Coco's been
great. I haven't seen Coco. That's the thing. Coco is top of this list.
Amazing.
Came out 2017. I have not seen it.
You need to watch it. Yeah. I will watch it again. It is phenomenally crafted movie, as Pixar always does.
I mean, they seem to be getting better. I mean, if Coco's as good as Inside Out, 2015,
was
amazing.
Great film.
I think Amy Poehler was in it.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah, Amy Poehler, Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I mean, funny cast.
Yes, and like that's,
and great feelsy movie. I bawled my eyes out.
It's one of those movies that like I could like put on to like teach children on how to deal with emotions.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
That's like as a teacher, I'm glad that movie came out. Not just purely for the fact that it was just as every Pixar movie is, just the way it is made, the way it is scripted. Like they might be some of the best, most well scripted movies going.
Definitely. They certainly can tell a story. You've got movies like Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., The Incredibles, Ratatouille.
What's up there for you? Ratatouille's great.
Ratatouille is great.
Oh, yeah.
And they're kicking themselves for not making a second Ratatouille
Ratatouille. Oh, wow.
Like, they're...
Wow.
They're shooting themselves
Patent
in
pending.
The foot. They're,
Pixar, they're shooting themselves and in the Disney, foot. We need a sponsor. That's
sportsbet.com. But for me, Toy Story is always going to be really, really good. I even like.
How would you rank the three Toy Stories?
All right, so I'm gonna fuse the Toy Stories into.
One.
Oh wait, am I ranking Toy Stories in general?
Rank those three Toy Stories for me. I go one, three, two.
Three was very like two's not bad.
Three is. So
it's
good.
Just three and one were so freaking good.
Three is so good because these movies came out when we were children. Like, I think Toy Story came out when, like, you were born and I was, like, 3 or 4 years old.
1995, I was one.
So, like, the way that Toy Story 3 was catered towards us, and spoiler alert, with Andy giving the toys away, it was just like, for me, it was just like, holy crap, my childhood is ending here as well.
Mm.
I was probably 25 at the time when it came out anyway, but I digress. But what are some of your lesser Pixar movies?
Ones that I guess didn't cut the mustard.
Yeah,
Cars was a
I liked
very,
Cars one.
No, I didn't.
You're not an Owen Wilson fan? I mean,
I am an Owen Wilson fan. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, I've done that twice. Now.
Holy crap, we have.
I do. Wait. Yeah, I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap, we actually got it in there.
Yeah,
it's been a while since we put that up.
Got that? Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, Cars wasn't that great. I mean, I think it's Mater that redneck truck is just atrocious. Yeah, that's never going to be good.
Have you seen
Brave? Was meh. Brave
Monsters
was very
University?
Meh. Yes, I liked it.
Okay, I need to see.
I liked it. And like Monsters Inc. for me is up there as well. Like
God.
That is
my
boo.
Oh man, my feels, man. I'm getting sad already just thinking about.
Even the Incredibles 2 came out last year.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Or
it
this
yet.
Year? This year was it? I think it might have been this year.
Yeah, because I was going to download it.
It is good.
I was going to do
rent. It's good
from Blockbuster Video. Some illegal form of being able to watch the film.
It's very good. It's very good.
Better than one?
Better than... Oh, no, not better than one. No,
One is incredible.
One is incredible.
Ah!
One was so...
So, where would, like, if you feel ranking, like, superhero movies, just, like, really, really
it's
quickly,
high.
Where does it go in, like, the Iron Man...
It's a different sort of movie though.
Yeah.
Like it's not as gritty. It's like the whole birth of the villain is really good. Like he was just a kid who wanted to be a superhero, but wasn't born with superpowers. So
yeah.
He made his superhero like superpowers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's they're just well written movies.
Yeah. They're some of my favorite movies ever. Some of my most rewatchable
movies
ever.
Yeah, like the teenage girl just wants to be a normal girl, and like.
Which one have out of these have you rewatched the most? I think Toy Story. It goes Toy Story and Up for me.
Yeah, Toy Story. Wall-E. I've watched Wall-E quite a few times. It hits you right there.
Yeah.
It's not so much funny. It reminds me of just like a. It's just a story.
Yeah.
It's just like, think of it like a, I don't know, like a, I don't know why I'm thinking Walter Mitty.
Okay.
But like, it's just a start to finish story.
Walter Mitty's a good movie.
Nothing like, there's nothing crazy in it. It's just an incredible story about robots.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's really good.
And guys, let us know your, I might have to put a poll out on Twitter just to promote the episode about favorites. Not toy stories because I could do favorite toy stories. Might even have four in there because man, it's going to be fire already. You get King and Peele involved, it's going to be hilarious.
Should be good, but I think we're running a little bit over time.
It doesn't matter
by a minute.
We could probably go a bit longer. Do that spiel.
I'll give you the patented outro. So that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Block Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast, Pocket Casts I use on Android. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review as well. Helps us out heaps and helps others find the show. Contact us at JBTNick and at TheJManJBT. At OTG Basketball as well has a lot of fire content that you can look up. Just Ball Things on Facebook. You can search for us and we'll be there. JBT Podcast at Gmail. You can hit us up there and we'll read any emails out on the show. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, sisters.